I'll be sitting next to you.
Hi. Segregated tonight. Good morning. The Senate Judiciary Committee will come to order. Today is May 1, 2015. We are going to start with some confirmations for the Board on Judicial Standards. We'll start with William Wernz. Come on forward, Bill. And I will note for the record, we do have a quorum present. So, members, in your packet, you have a notice of appointments for the Board on Judicial Standards members that we are considering today. So, Mr. Wernz, welcome back to the Judiciary Committee.
Thank you, Senator.
Could you give us a few minutes on your background and why you'd like to be reappointed?
Thank you. I have served on the Board on Judicial Standards since June of 2011. I'm now the chair of the board. I was vice chair the last 2 years. In the many years before that, my career was in legal ethics. I was director of the State Lawyers Board, and then I was ethics partner at Dorsey & Whitney for about 20 years. During the 4 years that I've served on the board to date, I have several accomplishments I'd like to share with you. I was the chair of the committee that created a new website for the board, a project that had languished for some years before that. And in order to have materials for the website, I was co-chair of a committee to update our internal policies and procedure manual. And after the website was established, we decided that we wanted to have formal opinions for judges and the public on matters of legal ethics. In the past, the board had rendered only brief opinions, and the new opinions are far more substantial, and I've been the author of a number of those. Terry Sario, who will also be here this morning, has been an advocate within the board for ensuring that we comply with various rules and laws, and I've been involved in that too. And to that end, we undertook to change the board's expungement practices, and that has now been fully implemented. So those are several of the accomplishments. I think we have an extremely harmonious and productive board. We've hired a new and excellent Executive Secretary Tom Vasily, who's to my left, in case there are any questions about matters that I don't know.
All right, and we'll note, Mr. Wernz, you are also the author of the Treatise in Minnesota, Minnesota Legal Ethics, sponsored by the State Bar Association. The website is hosted by them. So, members, do you have any questions for Mr. Wernz? All right. We have a quiet committee today. All right, is there a motion?
I'll move Mr. Wernz's confirmation.
Thank you. Any further discussion? So Senator Newman moves that William Wernz be recommended for confirmation by the Senate as the attorney member for the Board on Judicial Standards. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Congratulations, Mr. Wernz.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your service. Terry Sario.
Hello.
Good morning. Welcome back to the committee.
Thank you.
Why don't you give us a few moments of your background and why you'd like to be reappointed?
Certainly. I apologize for my allergies, so I will try and speak up a little bit. I've had an extensive background in philanthropy predominantly, both in foundations, private foundations, corporations, and government. I was privileged to serve in the Carter administration, both in the Education Department when he created the Education Department, as well as in the White House itself. So I am asking you today to reconsider or to consider my reappointment to the Minnesota Board on Judicial Standards as a public member. And I believe that my background in governance and management has been a very useful perspective to bring to the deliberations of the board. And I have focused particularly on the internal policies and procedures in the of the board, which I must say were not always fully implemented to the degree they should be for us to function effectively. And I believe that over the last 4 years, the other colleagues of mine on the board and I have been able to improve the internal functionings, and particularly with Mr. Vasily now on staff. I think that we have made enormous progress in being more transparent, being more open, in improving the tenor and the tone of our workings with our constituents. And I believe that the new website has also been a vast addition to our deliberations. We have more to do. We need to work more on education with our various constituents. But I believe that my perspective and my background have been an important addition to the deliberations, and I ask for your approval.
All right, thank you. And I will note among your background listed in the packet members, a letter or description of her background. Ms. Sario was the president of Northwest Area Foundation, as well as her other community and corporate service positions. So thank you for all of your service. Any questions for Ms. Sario? Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Sario, you mentioned that you have focused on some of the internal procedures of the board and have made and recommended some improvements. Could you put a little meat on those statements for us, please?
Certainly.
Ms. Sario.
When Bill and I first joined the board in 2011, one of the very first things I did was ask for a manual for board members. Such a manual did not exist. And as a public member, I felt it was particularly important to know what the parameters of our work was, what the code and policies and procedures said that our responsibilities were. So I'm pleased to say that today there is such a board manual that is given to each new board member as they come on the board. The board at that time did not have what I would call functional oversight of the board's budget. I had to ask several times to see a budget. We now have we have a subcommittee that reviews the budget on a regular basis. There wasn't even a board calendar that would define board responsibilities at various points in the year. We have that now. We did not have stated goals for the board's performance on an annual basis, nor did we have such goals for the executive secretary. We do now. So I believe that we are functioning far more effectively as a body and in less of an ad hoc way.
Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One follow-up question then. Mr. Wernz had mentioned that there had been a full implementation of the expungement process. Could you describe for us a little bit what this newly implemented or fully implemented expungement process now is with the board, and any activity that you had an involvement in with implementing it?
Ms. Sario.
I would defer to Mr. Vasily to fill in the details, but there was a very deliberate process that both board members and Mr. Vasily and his staff went through all the files that were eligible to be expunged, and we are up to date as of now in having removed those.
Mr. Vasily, would you like to fill in a little bit more about the expungement purpose and process?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When I arrived, essentially I discovered that the files that the board had decided a year or two earlier should be expunged had not been expunged. Great many files that needed to be reviewed and expunged. So it wasn't a question of setting a new policy, but simply executing a policy that the board had already decided on several years earlier. And the policy, in turn, followed the compliance with the Supreme Court rule, which we're obligated to comply with. At this point, we retain we retain all public disciplines indefinitely. We retain all private disciplines indefinitely, and files that are found to have no basis are generally expunged after 3 years.
Thank you. Senator Newman.
One follow-up question. Then, you know, in terms of this expungement policy, is the policy established by the board, by the Supreme Court, or the legislature?
By the Supreme Court. Mr. Chair, Senator Newman, the Supreme Court adopts rules for the board, and the board is simply complying with its own interpretation of the rule. So, in a sense, it's policy, but basically, what it is following the letter of the Supreme Court rule, which dictates an expunction schedule of 3 years for dismissed complaints and indefinite retention of files where the judge is disciplined, whether privately or publicly.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any further questions from Ms. Saria? Senator Dietzick.
I move for appointment, confirmation of appointment.
Senator Dietzick moves that Terry Saria be recommended to be confirmed by the full Senate as a public member on the Board on Judicial Standards. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you for your service, Ms. Saria.
Thank you very much.
And members, we have also the confirmation of Cindy Telstad on our agenda. Ms. Telstad lives in Winona, was unable to personally appear here today, but you do have the information relating to her application in your packets, including a letter from her and her resume. Is there any discussion with regard to Ms. Telstad's proposed recommendation for reappointment to the board? Senator Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In reading through some of her background, I did notice, and I am concerned about where she graduated from college as a Augsburg grad. I'm concerned about Augusti being on this board. Just kidding.
I will note, Senator Hall, there is a high school student in the audience today who's planning to go to Gustavus next year.
There's always those concerns.
I hope he doesn't live in your district. You represent Belle Plaine?
We have plenty of Augusti, let me tell you.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Limmer.
People going to that school have even been known to become members of the legislature. So if they can get into the legislature, I think it would be fair enough to say that they're qualified to at least be on this panel.
Thank you for backing me up.
So you got to watch what you say before we convene committee, and you have more protection after committee begins.
But it's all probationary.
Yes. All right. Is there a motion with regard to Ms. Telstad?
So move.
Senator Hall, redeeming himself, moves that Cindy Telstad be recommended to be confirmed as an attorney member on the Board on Judicial Standards. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. We will communicate our congratulations to Ms. Telstad. All three of these recommendations will be forwarded to the Senate floor for action on their confirmation. So that concludes the portion of the hearing today where we'll be taking formal action. We are now going to move to an informational hearing on Senate File 465 relating to fireworks. Senator Westrom has joined us here today. And we'll welcome Senator Westrom, and we have some testimony anticipated as well. So, Senator Westrom, Senate File 465.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I realize it's Friday, and the drill is to leave as soon as we can. So,
Senator Westrom, I promised you an informational hearing, and you're welcome to take the time that you need to make your presentation. No
sure.
Rush.
Well, and Mr. Chair, we have one testifier, but I first had the privilege to hear just as the meeting was starting, and you recognized Belle Plaine High School students are here, and I just met Mrs. Berger, and I, for the committee's information, I found out it was interesting. They were studying, one of the bills they were studying and supporting was my fireworks bill, and they came here for the hearing, and so members, we welcome them here, and I'd be interested in their perspective, and I asked her to send me their research, and so welcome to the Belle Plaine seniors, and certainly the purpose for this hearing, Mr. Chair, and of course, advocating for this legislation that I've introduced. It would simply allow in the state of Minnesota the fireworks, the aerial fireworks that currently are banned. And many of us have heard the arguments again. I'll go over some of them briefly. And Gary here is here to testify as a business or a nonprofit that they run, that they sell fireworks that are currently legal, only because about 13 years ago, under Governor Ventura, we did finally allow some small fireworks to be sold in our state. Prior to that, you couldn't sell any. And currently, the aerial fireworks are illegal, but we all know that law is rarely enforced, and it's one of those that's on the books, but the public activity and the desire, I don't believe, matches what our current law says. And maybe there were good reasons back when they put this law into place, but I think it's time for us to lift this fireworks ban and allow these products to be sold in our state, in the state of Minnesota, rather than the current practice of people in our state, citizens that want to celebrate, especially around the 4th of July, travel to the neighboring states, buy them, and there's all of those sales tax dollars go to those states. The products are brought back here, and you get into later June and especially around the 4th of July, most people are aware of fireworks celebration going on somewhere in their neighborhood or city or community, and many people also go enjoy the commercial displays that many cities or communities put on throughout the state. And so I'm here to ask the committee and share this information, but to help continue generating public support for this initiative. Earlier this year, I was on WCCO. They put it on their instant poll, and I don't recall the exact results, but they were about 2-1 in favor of this policy. And I think it's time for our state to start accepting and keeping those sales tax dollars right here in our state as well, and allow this product to be legally shot off and not one of these scenarios where everybody goes to the neighboring states. Looks a little over their shoulder, tries to be a little discreet about it, but for the most part, you can't be discreet about shooting off bottle rockets and firecrackers. And so for that reason, I think it's time to repeal this law. Certainly, we can work on parameters that would help ensure safety, but you will hear probably concerns about fire. We have passed out some information, and the amount of fires in our state that result from fireworks are very negligible if you look at those statistics. And Mr. Chair and members, that is the push behind this bill. I represent also a Senate district that borders two of the states surrounding us, South Dakota and North Dakota. And that activity is confirmed to me over and over as I talk to constituents, especially the further west you get in our state near the border. Many of them just sometimes, if they really want to be legal, they go sit in the parking lot in Wahpeton, North Dakota, and shoot them off. But otherwise, they go over there and they come back to the Minnesota side. And that's the activity that I think we really should examine and realize that that's what the public desires, and for those that want to do it, they do it in a safe manner. And this bill, lastly, Mr. Chair, would restrict the sales from June 1st until July 7th, focusing primarily around those summer weeks leading up to and around the 4th of July celebration, where we celebrate the independence and the freedom of our country, and it has become a very customary part of that celebration. And so for that reason, Mr. Chair, I share my perspective, and I'd like to turn it over to Gary, who can identify himself and tell you he's from the Rosemont area.
So. Thank you. Before we do that, if I may just mention to members, in your packets is the information that Senator Westrom referred to. I believe it's the Minnesota Fire data sheet, Senator Westrom.
Correct.
It's got a fair amount of statistics on there. Information obtained from the Minnesota State Fire Marshal Division annual report on fire in Minnesota in 2013. I do have a question for you, Senator Westrom.
Sure.
Is there anything in your bill that addresses the question of what materials the building out of which fireworks are sold is made of? Can they be sold under tents or out of tents? Can they be sold out of brick buildings only? Is anything in your bill that addresses that question at all?
Mr. Chair, not extensively, as I recall. This legislation mimics what was passed off the Senate floor in 2011 by a vote of 47-17. And so for the purposes of not trying to introduce new or other provisions, I have just redrafted that bill that's already passed the Senate.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Hoagland, welcome to the Judiciary Committee.
Yes.
Why don't you go ahead and identify yourself for the record and testify as you wish.
My name is Gary Hoagland. I live in Rosemount. And so, Mr. Chairman and Senators, thank you very much for the opportunity to come and just talk about my experience a little bit today. So I have sold fireworks now for 11 years. It's on behalf of a nonprofit, and I really feel like what I'm doing here this morning is on behalf of a host of nonprofits that are also involved in the same activity. That sell fireworks for the purposes of raising money for various projects that they do during the year. Specifically, my group, and I was a youth pastor for 13 years, still on the board of a church in Burnsville, and we've always used this opportunity to sell fireworks as a fundraiser to do things in the community or in other communities. We built 10 homes for homeless people, for instance, completely off the profits that we made selling fireworks. We have sent kids from low-income families to camp, just small examples of the benefits of doing this. One of the things that has always been a frustration to me is I have like everybody else, I have many neighbors, and in our conversations, they will always talk about how we might stop by and we'll get some sparklers from you or something like that, but we're going to buy our real stuff across the border in Wisconsin, and they bring it back home and they set it off. And when I'm in our fireworks tent for 10 days, every June into July, that's the first question that about 90% of the people ask when they come in: where do I buy the stuff that launches? And we, of course, we tell them that Minnesota law, we're not allowed to do that. And they say, well, I'm just going to go and get that stuff, but I might pick up some poppets or something like that, something for the children. And so really what we've been allocated to in Minnesota is doing stuff for the children that they consider absolutely safe and quite frankly, is not very profitable. For the work that we put in for 10 days, I involve in the neighborhood of 30 to 40 people from our organization to run this little business for 10 days. So we put a lot of work into it. We really do. And we believe in Minnesota law. We stand firmly behind it. We're glad that we're able to do what we could do, but we feel like we're really being cheated because the laws of our state are really preventing nothing. It's just making people drive 25 minutes to the east to buy their fireworks, and they bring them back. On the western side, of course, North Dakota, South Dakota, same thing. I don't believe we're preventing the launching of illegal fireworks in our state by not selling them here. And the truth is, from what I understand, and I'm certainly not, although I sell fireworks, I'm not an expert on the makeup, but the fireworks that that launch, that would be sold, don't have any more gunpowder, TNT, you know, however you want to refer to it, than the ones that that we sell 500-gram fireworks. The ones that we would sell are 500-gram fireworks. It's the same measurement. So I guess my testimony today is, and maybe to echo what Senator Westrom said, we're not stopping anything. People are still spending their money. They just happen to be spending it in other states. And tax dollars that could be used for good purposes here, maybe even fire prevention purposes, for all I know, are going to another state, and they could be kept right here in Minnesota.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Hoagland. Any questions for Mr. Hoagland? Senator Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Hoagland, you stated that we're not preventing any you were preventing nothing. Do you think that the added type of aerial fireworks would add more injury?
Thank you, Senator Hall. It's very difficult, I guess, for me to say that. And I know there's some highly esteemed leaders in our fire community here today, and I'm sure they could speak very well to that. My personal belief is that it would not add any injuries. One of the reasons I base that on, my wife and I are the ones that always work the tent on the evening of the 4th of July, because we want everybody else to be able to go to their communities and watch their fireworks. And we watch for an hour all around us. We watch people setting off fireworks that launch in the air, bottle rockets, and whatever they are. So I don't believe it'll add to the volume of the number of people that are doing this, therefore not adding to any injuries.
Senator Mr. Chair, Mr. Hoagland, so my question then is, if we increase the amount of bottle rockets or aerial fireworks, my suspicion is those are the most dangerous. And my suspicion is that the reason they're the most dangerous is because you can't control their placement. In other words, you put a bottle rocket out and you direct it in one direction. I would say, I don't know what the span of that would be, but there are many times that I've seen those go off and they did not go that direction. They actually went to the side eventually as they curved around. So that concerns me. And looking at the stats here, we're talking right now about one in every Senate district there's an injury. I assume this is annual injuries. So I would assume that if we allowed aerial fireworks, that would probably increase. And I wonder if we have any stats from other states. Senator Westrom, do you know if we have any stats of increased injuries from other states?
Senator Hall, offhand, I do not right now. I know I've talked to some that, you know, anecdotally talk about what other states are, and there isn't a major problem. Not to say that any time you have something, I mean, cars are legal, cigarettes are legal, they all can have bad consequences when accidents happen or not used properly, and the same would be true in this bill. Would still require the user to exercise due care and also you know, not be negligent in how they handle it. Just like so many other products we have in our state, that's a responsibility that goes with the product.
Senator Newman.
Mr. Chair, Senator Westrom, the handout from the Minnesota Fire data sheet indicates there's a line for fireworks-related injuries in Minnesota, and then if you go down to line 23, it says firework-related injuries in Indiana. Is the state of Indiana included in this as a comparison to Minnesota because Indiana has authorized aerial devices, or is there some other reason that you know of it would be included in this sheet? If you know,
You know, Mr. Senator Newman, I don't know the answer to that question. Perhaps the fire safety folks that are here would know the answer. This was their report.
Yeah, okay, thank you, Senator Westrom. Mr. Chair, and the only reason I make that observation is it just, you know, out of 50 states, we've got two states listed, and I'm just wondering sort of out loud why we would have the state of Indiana versus some other state. And I rather suspect it's included as a comparison to Minnesota because it allows for aerial devices, but I don't know that.
Senator Newman, there is a footnote at the bottom where there's a double asterisk, indicates that aerial fireworks were legalized in 2006 in Indiana.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had not seen that. Thank you.
Then it also notes they have an 18% larger population than Minnesota does as well. And these are raw numbers reported. They're not as a percentage of population or anything like that. All right. Any further questions for Mr. Hoagland or Senator Westrom? Senator Dziedzic.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I don't know if the testifier can answer this. On line 1.24, under display fireworks, it said this term includes, but it not is not limited to salutes. What's a salute?
Senator Westrom, do you know what a salute is?
Senator Dziedzic, I don't know offhand. Senate Council might have a better answer on that. Or Gary, do you know?
So my guess would be it's the same as a report, a sound, maybe a popping. You know what happens at the end of the show? Yeah.
Okay. Senator Dziedzic.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And then I just have a technical question for, and it might be just more of a follow-up to look into, but since I don't know a lot about this, it refers to the American Pyrotechnic Association Standard 87.1, so I pulled it up, and I was just kind of figuring out, because under aerial and audio devices, it lists, you know, some sections including 3.5, and then you go down and again, sparkling devices are in 3.5, but sparkling devices, if I'm reading this right, on line 2.5, fireworks is any other device than 3.5, and I'm not finding any sparklers under 3.5, so just kind of a note to maybe check into that.
Say that again, Senator Dziedzic, about sparklers. What were you?
And I'm kind of confused, but so on line 1.16, it talks about what aerial and audio devices means fireworks in a finished state suitable for use by the public listed in this American Pyrotechnic Association Standard 87.1 sections 3.1.2, 3.1.3, and 3.5. And then you go on later on line 2.16, 2.17, and again mentions sparkling devices. And it mentions section 3.15, and I'm not seeing sparkling devices on this section 3.15, but again, I'm not sure if I'm reading the technical terminology and some of this standards right, but it's just kind of a note to double check that.
And Mr. Chair,
Senator Westrom,
perhaps Senate Council would have any insight on that, or they could check on that.
I would just say check it as we're moving forward because I'm not.
As you know, these technical terms. That's why we have the council to help put the technicality to these bills as they need, similar to what is either in another state or what's been passed before. And so I don't know the answer to that, but it's a good question. Thank you,
Senator Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Hoagland, are you here representing your church, your council or eldership? Do they agree with you on this?
Yeah.
Mr. Hoagland.
Thank you. I guess I didn't ask them before I came, But I would, I could say that they would absolutely be in agreement with me. Sure.
Okay, Mr. Hoagland.
Senator Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do you get added insurance to be able to sell these products? And will your insurance, if you do, will your insurance go up if you have aerial added on? Do you know?
Mr. Hoagland.
Yes. Senator, the insurance is provided as part of the fees that we pay through the company that we sell through, which is TNT Fireworks. So as an organization, we're not required to get extra added insurance. It's something that comes out of our funds from the fireworks company. And I don't anticipate that would go up, but I haven't asked the question.
All right. Senator Westrom, do you have anything further you'd like to present?
Mr. Chair, I do not have anything further than what we've already said, other than I would, I don't know, Mr. Chair, do you intend to hear from the fire safety side of things today? Or?
Yes, I do, Senator.
Okay. And I just, I guess I'd, let's hear from them, and I would have just a couple concluding comments.
All right. Thank you. I have on our testifier list Tim Vadnis, the chief of the White Bear Lake Fire Department, and also speaking on behalf of the Minnesota State Fire Chiefs Association. So come on forward, Chief. And then I know we had Deputy Fire Marshal from the state of Minnesota was also in the audience and wanted to testify. Come on forward, sir, as well. Chief, if you want to start, and just go ahead and make sure you note your name for the recording.
Okay, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Tim Vadnis. I'm fire chief in the city of White Bear Lake, and I'm here today on behalf of the Minnesota State Fire Chiefs Association and several other fire associations throughout the state. I've got 41 years in the fire service and 27 years as the fire chief in White Bear Lake. And the reason I bring that up is empirically I can say the expansion of fireworks in any way is going to increase the number of fire calls we respond to, the severity of the fire calls we respond to, and it's also going to increase the safety of the public in injuries and burns and so forth. As passionate advocates of the public safety, we continue to oppose any and all expansion of fireworks as they indisputably cause fires and injuries. The National Fire Protective Association data in calendar year 2009 shows that across the nation, fireworks caused more than $38 million in property damage, and the property damage involved 700 homes alone and resulted in more than 8,000 injuries. Along with these injuries and property damage is the cost of the fire to local communities, police response, EMS response, and fire response, which is not documented but easily runs into the millions of dollars on an annual basis. These factors fuel our passion for fire prevention as we incur the risk of injury and death whenever we respond. A particular concern is the potential for fires, especially with our current drought conditions here in Minnesota. On Independence Day, far more fires are reported than any other day of the year. Fireworks account for more than half of those additional fires that we receive on Independence Day. Fireworks do cause fires, and the expansion of the current law will cause more fires and more injuries. In 2002, which was the last year the expansion of fireworks occurred, injuries and fires attributed to fireworks tripled from the previous year when they were not expanded. I'm going to share a few examples of fireworks starting in Minnesota, fireworks-caused fires in Minnesota. An article in the Star Tribune told about a person who started the Carlos Avery fires back in 2009. That fire burned 2.3 square miles of state park, and while I don't know the exact suppression cost, it was in the tens of thousands of dollars. This person shot bottle rockets from his pickup truck into a field. Then we have the Isani County grass fire in 2010 that burned 90 acres and burned within yards of two homes, which were saved when the DNR sent up planes to drop water. The cost of those planes involved went over well over $10,000. It took five fire departments, some working overnight, to respond to this incident. Nationally, grass is the first material ignited in 47% of all fireworks fires. There was a townhome garage fire in 2011 that started at about 1 a.m., and fireworks was the cause. Two of the four detached garages were on fire. It took firefighters from three stations to put out the fire and stop it from spreading to even more property. Lastly, in Zabrota, a business suffered after two teens bought the large aerial fireworks in Wisconsin and set them off. The owner of AgriTech Industries was inside the building when the fire was reported and escaped without injuries. Three of his four buildings were deemed a total loss, and firefighters spent 3 hours putting the fire out. This 2014 incident caused $1.3 million in damage. Some of you may be thinking that this is a simple issue of personal freedom and having fun. I ask you to think, however, about the impact fireworks has on neighbors, pets, and the community at large. There are plenty of controlled fireworks displays put on in communities to celebrate the special holidays and events. White Bear Lake is included in that. We put on a $12,000 display every year on the 4th of July, and those are shot off a barge out on White Bear Lake. These displays are conducted in a safe and responsible manner by professional pyrotechnicians. To go back to a question that came up earlier, currently a single firecracker has 0.05 grams of powder in it. Passage of this bill would increase that to 500 grams per device, and that is needed to get these things, that these aerial devices that will go up to 150 to 200 feet in the air. As to our neighboring states, decals can be important. In Wisconsin, you have to have a permit from your local unit of government to buy and to use fireworks that we're speaking of today. This is statistics from the Wisconsin Department of Health. In 2011, there were 17,800 fires attributed to fireworks. 1,200 structure fires occurred in that group, 400 vehicle fires, and then there were 16,300 outside fires. I assume they were wildland fires. There were 40 injuries and $32 million of property damage in 2011. Minnesota firefighters oppose this bill, as they know the increased risk to the public safety. Fireworks injure people, causes property damage, insurance premiums increase, and put firefighters at risk. So why take the chance? We ask you to join the following organizations and others in opposing the expansion of fireworks: the Minnesota State Chiefs of Police Association, Minnesota Chapter of American College of Emergency Physicians, the League of Minnesota Cities, the Minnesota State Fire Department Association, the Minnesota State Fire Chiefs Association, the Fire Marshal Association of Minnesota, and the Minnesota Chapter of International Association of Arson Investigators. Just a collateral point that I'd like to bring up with all this. As I mentioned before, we know the impact on the fire service is going to increase greatly with this expansion of fireworks. The nation, and Minnesota too, is currently in a crisis as far as retaining firefighters. As you know, most of the firefighters in the state of Minnesota are paid on call. They have a lot of required training and so forth. They do as a part-time job or a paid on call department or volunteer department at times. And the last thing we need to do during this crisis of waning membership in our departments is to increase the workload on these volunteer firefighters to put these fires out. I thank you for the opportunity to speak today.
Thank you, Chief. Before we go on to the Deputy Fire Marshal, I'll note for members of the audience, particularly the students, the handouts that have been distributed to members of the committee are also available on the handout table in front of you there. So you are welcome to stand up and get copies for yourselves as well and take whatever you'd like for your own information. Deputy Chief, go ahead and identify yourself for the record and welcome your testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Jim Smith, and I am the Chief Deputy State Fire Marshal. I'd like to thank you for having the opportunity to speak here today. As you know, it's the mission of the State Fire Marshal Division to protect the lives, the safety, and the well-being of all the citizens of Minnesota. Included in this very mission is our dedication to protect all Minnesotans, including innocent bystanders of all ages who may fall victim to someone else's carelessness with fireworks. The State Fire Marshal Division has statistics specific to fireworks-related injuries from two separate time periods, the first being a time period between 1992 and 2002, when essentially all consumer fireworks were illegal in the state of Minnesota. And the second is a time period from 2002 to 2012. This is the period in which non-aerial and non-explosive fireworks were legalized. And I want to remind you that we're just talking about the simple fireworks, things like sparklers, snakes, party poppers. That's all that was legalized in that period. Statistics show that in that time period between 2002 and 2012, firework-related injuries rose by 111%. Even more concerning to me as your Chief Deputy State Fire Marshal is that from 2002 to 2012, 52% of those injured were suffered by persons 19 years old and younger. But most disturbingly, 22% of those injuries were children under the age of 10 years old. Additionally, since 2002, statistics have shown a dramatic 500% rise in property damage and loss attributed solely to the use of fireworks. Changes to the current fireworks statute could most assuredly exacerbate these statistics. It is for this reason that I am opposed to this bill. Fireworks are inherently dangerous, and even the well-supervised use of fireworks is extremely dangerous. I thank you for allowing me to testify here.
Thank you, Deputy Smith. Any questions from members of the committee, either for Chief Vadnais or for Chief Deputy Smith?
Chair.
Senator Limmer.
Chair, to the two fire chiefs, the question I have is I see that there's statistics that someone has provided regarding dollar loss and by age of incident if there was an injury. Do you have any statistics from states that do allow the use of this caliber of fireworks? Do you have that available, or could you tell me where that would be available? I would like to know if states that have a long history of using a higher caliber firework would have the same percentage of injuries today after they have had that part of their culture. Do they learn safety methods in those states, or are they similar to the injury level that you're expressing now?
Mr. Chair and Senator, thank you for that question.
Smith.
Oh, sorry.
I just have to say that for the record so that in the future when members of the public are listening to the tapes, they know who it is that's speaking. So go ahead.
Fully understand. Thank you. It's a very good question. The statistics that you were provided with today came from the State Fire Marshal Office of Minnesota, and they are specific to the state of Minnesota. Our Fire Marshal Division does not have records from other states. However, that information would be readily available. If you so desire, we could probably compile some data and get it to you at our earliest convenience.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Limmer.
The only question I would have is whether or not other states keep records like this, or if fire associations in other states keep that data, and I would imagine I can do my own research, but thank you for the offer. Just something to keep in mind. I'm wondering if a state that has a culture of fireworks also may have a culture of safety that may be already in place, that maybe the new use of a higher caliber of fireworks in Minnesota may represent a lack of information by the public or by the consumer when they use it, because it's so new.
Senator Lumber, one concern I would have is the statistics with regard to the teenagers and the younger children who are injured. Even if adults get more accustomed to safety procedures, there are always the teenagers that don't quite have that exposure that would be a little bit of a concern.
Always something to look at.
Yes. Chief Adams.
Mr. Chair and Senator, you know, I don't know how in-depth the information you can get from Wisconsin is, but again, I'm sure it's available. The statistics I gave you today were from 2011, and that information was put out by the Wisconsin Department of Health. So that's one entity that's keeping track of this information.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, to that question,
Senator Wostrom.
Senator Limmer, and I'm suspicious that there's plenty of advocates or some of the advocates for fireworks companies that is at least watching this legislation. I know they are frustrated, and until we show more signs of progress in our state, they haven't engaged financially and helped push this issue. But they would be a source that we could try to get some additional information from, because they obviously have experience in states that do allow this, and I know have a great interest in it here in Minnesota, but also want to see that the stars are aligned for them to have a reasonable chance to make this happen.
Thank you.
Senator Dietzick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the fire marshal or one of the fire people, is there a breakdown on the numbers that you gave us between metro and rural area? I know it's much more denser in the metro area, and then just the I did find the definition of salute, and it is fireworks designed to produce an explosive sound, and so, you know, a lot of those going off in a densely area, you know, in certain areas in Minneapolis, it would probably, you know, at least trigger the spot shotter, but then you know, they are able to detect if it's gunshot or not. But I know in my neighborhood, which is pretty densely populated, right around the 4th of July, they go off all night long. And so I know, you know, when you've got a ton of people there. So, and then there's just, with that many people and housing in the area, it's easier to spread, at least to housing and property, as opposed to grass fires and whatnot. So is there any breakdown on these the injuries and the amount of property damage on a breakdown in metro versus rural?
Mr. Chair.
Chief Deputy Smith.
Thank you. Senator Dietzick, yes, we do have a breakdown specific to urban and rural. However, I do not have those statistics with me here today, but that is easily obtained through our database.
All right. Any further questions for any of our testifiers?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Limmer.
I don't have the copy of the bill in front of me, but wasn't there a provision in this bill that recognized the ability of a city or a other political subdivision to have a little more reference of whether they would allow these devices? Or maybe that question would be more focused to the author.
There is a provision, Senator Limmer, on page 3, line 3.20, not preempting town or home rule charter or statutory cities from enacting ordinances that regulate the conditions of use but cannot outright prohibit all use in the jurisdiction.
Right.
Is that what you were looking for? So Senator Wester.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, and that's they can't outright ban them, but they can restrict some of the things of sale and times of use, as I recall, going through the legislation. But with that, Senator Limmer, maybe it's a segue. Certainly, there may be a different version of what would be more acceptable to the fire chiefs. Although, you know, I understand their position. It's hard to come off of not wanting it, but as we try to maybe pursue a compromise or something that is more acceptable, sometimes there's different ways to come up with versions. I know Senator Nelson, last week when we had this judiciary bill on the floor, had talked to me about maybe looking at doing the Wisconsin model for permits for local jurisdictions instead. That isn't my first choice, but I'm here to say, you know, maybe there's information and other provisions that we could look at to permit this in Minnesota and let local jurisdictions have a little more say in it. Some areas would probably be more accepting, and others be more cautious. And so, Mr. Chair, as the fire marshals are here and others in the public, my interest is trying to find a safe way to move this forward and allow it during this five or six week period in the state of Minnesota. And I think Minnesota benefits financially from the sales tax that we are currently losing. And so to your point, Senator Limmer.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the room that would like to testify in connection with this proposed bill? Not seeing anyone come forward.
Any student comments?
Well, he's kind of looking at him. Anyone from Bell Plain student group wish to comment on this while you're here? We certainly welcome your participation. No rush to the testifier table.
I understand.
Except the Gustavus guy's a little anxious to talk to you after the hearing.
Anybody but him.
Well, Mr. Chair, to that point, and I did ask Mrs. Berger, the teacher, if they had any comments, but if one of them would even just tell us for 30 seconds what the project is, I think it would be interesting. I found it interesting that they picked this bill, and there was one other bill that they were studying this year, and but I don't want to put them on the spot, but I just share that if one of them would want to take a minute to tell us, I think it would be of interest.
Senator Westrom, to your right, is a one of these students.
Your name?
Berger.
Mrs. Berger, why don't you tell us? Identify
yourself.
Go ahead
and just state your name for the record and tell us what you'd like to say.
Megan Berger.
All right, go ahead.
I'm currently a senior at Bell Plain High School, and I'm here with part of my college in the schools American government class. And this semester, we have taken time out of each week, and aside from studying how the process works and how our government's broken down, we are also taking time to lobby for bills. And most of my class actually lobbied for the bill dealing with the free 2 years of college tuition. I, however, along with six others, chose to do SF-465, the fireworks bill. So through this process, we emailed. I don't know. You guys should have got some emails. We've been emailing out. We've been calling, doing some research. I don't have anything with me to present, but we have been doing research on other states as far as their firework laws and how they work and the comparison as far as their injuries and everything like that, because, of course, that is a concern. However, I support Westrom in his bill, and our group here does as well. I can't speak for all of them. They're not all in the group, but the seven of us that are.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Senator Dietzler.
Thank you. I'm going to ask a question since you said that you've been researching these, and I'd be interested in getting some follow-up. So one of the questions I had, I represent the inner city in Minneapolis, so that's why they're I have lots of concerns because, again, it's just such a densely populated area. So if one, as Senator Hall said, sometimes you can't control these. They're great fun, but, you know, if one takes a wrong turn and, you know, hits, you know, there's just houses and people and cars and bikes and everything right there. And so it is a, you know, potential, big potential issue. And then the enforcement issue is interesting because how do other states enforce some of these? Is there a you know, an added cost to local government? And I know sometimes when my neighborhood has I personally don't call the police when there's the fireworks because, you know, I just sleep through it or not. But I know my neighbors have said that they've repeatedly called, and, you know, lots of times people are gone. They set off the fireworks and then they're gone. And so how do other states or communities enforce? Have you done any research on that?
I haven't come I haven't come across anything as far as increased police force or anything like that. Yeah, all I know is we each of us took how many states and we just said what their laws were. A lot of them had the, like, only June, July. Some of them were, like, July 1st through the 5th and just, like, small increments of time. So other than that, nothing that came across, but that'd be interesting to look into, and I'm sure we could definitely do research.
Thank you.
Senator Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry, what was your name again?
Megan Berger.
Ms. Berger. First off, I commend you for getting up and doing this, and what a great class. I would have loved to have had a class like that in my day. And that was in the 70s, not the 30s. Yes.
The 1870s.
Oh, there we go.
Get those shots in. So, Ms. Berger, my question is, in doing this bill, what was your main reason that you would want fireworks to be able to be used that we're talking about in this bill, aerial fireworks? Why would you want that? What would be your main reason?
Great question.
Ms. Berger.
Well, I grew up with seven siblings and a farm, and during our holidays and stuff, the fireworks were a big part of that. My brother is actually a cop up in North Dakota, so a lot of times we'll go there too and celebrate the holidays because it's legal there. And basically, I know safety is a huge factor in this, but I feel like a lot could be prevented with proper knowledge and precautions taken. So I feel though as though this bill shouldn't not pass just because we don't have proper knowledge on it and we don't have even like classes or something else taken. You know, we just have to cut it off right at no fireworks. So I'd like to see it pass, and of course with added precaution and added safety measures.
Great. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Berger.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other students wish to testify today? You're welcome to. All right. Ms. Berger, go ahead and make sure you're signing in there so we have your name for the record. Anyone else in the room wish to testify in connection with Senate File 465? Senator Westrom, any closing comments?
Mr. Chair, real briefly, I want to thank Ms. Berger here and the teacher for bringing their class up. I find this very inspiring, just in the sense of what a great way to learn about their state government. And so hats off to that. In conclusion, Mr. Chair and members, I am interested, and I know bipartisanly, I've got both Democrat and Republican authors. This bill has passed the Senate before. I hope we can find a way to work with the governor's office and the police chiefs, or the fire chiefs, to make this happen. It reminds me a lot of what led to the repeal of prohibition, where at some point the policymakers are way behind where society is, and at some point we have to recognize it's not our job to keep our fingers or our thumbs on the public when there's such an obvious outcry and interest, especially around the 4th of July season in our state, that people would like to participate in this activity. And so it's our job, I think, more so to find a responsible, reasonable way to permit this in our state, a lot like the repeal of prohibition decades ago. At some point, we have to recognize that the activity is going on underground or not so underground, as all of us can anecdotally refer to. And so that's my interest in trying to pursue something with you, Mr. Chairman, and others, members of the community, and the public, and the interest groups that are here. And so hopefully we can work on something. I know the House has an interested author in bipartisanship, and I welcome any input from the industries as well as the fire chiefs to try to come up with something.
Thank you, Senator Westrom. I should note for the record that the Minnesota Chiefs of Police Association was not able to attend here today, but they did send us a message that they're out of town at a conference, but they do oppose the bill. So that will be for the record. I'd also like to note the teacher for the class was here he's behind a pillar out of my view right now. Would you like to at least give us your names and tell us a little bit about the class while we've got the hearing still going?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is John Wellner, and I'm a high school social studies teacher at Belle Plaine High School. And this class, I've taught it for 4 years now, is College in the Schools Government. It's taken concurrently through the University of Minnesota State Mankato. And these students are all accepted into Minnesota State Mankato, and so they're taking it for free at Belle Plaine High School for 3 college credits. And this year, with the legislative session working out well, I decided to, and this is a talented group of seniors, to instead of just learning and memorizing how a bill is passed and through committee and all these different things, that they should actually try to do it themselves and have that experience and experience how learning about the legislative process really works. So I'm thankful to this actually worked out perfect for us. It's perfect timing, and I appreciate all your kind comments towards the students and all the opportunities that you gave them to speak, and we'll speak with you as well.
Thank you. Senator Hall.
Mr. Chair, I'm a little concerned that some of these students may move into my area and take my job.
I'm a realtor. I could help them with that.
All right. Thank you, sir, and good work as the teacher.
Yep.
We'll be very proud of them. All right. There being nothing further to come before the Judiciary Committee at this time, members, I think this is going to be our last meeting as a committee this year. All the rooms, frankly, are going to be used for conference committees from here on out. I don't think there's any further business to expect us to conduct this year. So thank you all for your hard work, your perception, your preparation, your intelligent questions. Senator Limmer, you wanted to add something?
Just a closing comment, Mr. Chair. Since we're closing the committee process this year, I want to thank the staff on both partisan staff and the independent staff. They have done yeoman's work this year, and I just want to compliment them on their, as always, their professional manner and how they handle all of the little foibles that we give them. So thank you, and you've done a very good job in running a very complex Absolutely. Committee this year, and I want to compliment you on that as well.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to work with all of you, including our terrific staff. And with that said, we will adjourn the Judiciary Committee.